Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
You've discovered your link to GoPowerCat.com's Tannehill and Spiller PowerCat podcast. Here are your hosts, former K-State tight end Travis Tannehill and former Wildcat safety Monte Spiller.
Hey everyone, what's up? This is Travis Tannehill and Monty Spiller on the Tannehill and Spiller podcast. I hope you guys are having a good week. Cats coming off a big win against TCU, going into a bye week, so should be a nice time to get them rested and recovered. But first off, Monty, how you doing, buddy? How's your week?
I'm good.
Doing all right. Did you guys win last Friday?
Yeah, we did. We had a game that we felt comfortable and confident going into, ended up winning 60-12 against Jeff West High School. And,
nice.
You know, I proud of our kids staying focused and looking past the team that had the quality athletes. They're down a little bit this year, but we have a big game this coming week against Houghton, coached by former K-State linebacker Brooks Barter, and he does a phenomenal job. You know, guys ready to go, and he's been there for several years, and they're always in the mix when it's come to district time and playoffs. So it comes down to whoever wins this game, put themselves in a pretty good position to get that first place seeding in district when playoffs come. So it's an important game for us on both sides of the ball, and I'm anxious to keep going, and the kids have been doing really good at practice so far, so we'll see.
Perfect. Sounds good. Well, best of luck to you. Any team ran by Brooks Barta, I'm sure, is very disciplined, very tough, and very hard to play against. So I'm sure you got your work cut out for you, but I got faith in you, Monty. It's kind of fun, you know, just listening to you throughout the season here. I know, you know, K-State football is my biggest passion, but I love a little high school football as well. So fun to follow along. Sure you're having fun. But K-State game, where'd you watch it at?
I watched it from the house, man. It was a fun game to watch. You know, it's one of those games where we talked about it last week. You never know going into a situation with TCU. Gary Patterson coached defense. You know they're going to be athletes and play well. And then Duggan coming off the big game against Texas the week prior, you know, they had to feel pretty good about their chances as well. And it's one of those games you watch it and, you know, our kids, they didn't disappoint. I was very happy with the way they came out. And I'm not sure if you pay much attention to the pregame talk and the different talk shows, Fox, ESPN, whatever it may be. But I believe every quote-unquote expert that picked our game picked TCU to win. So that was kind of a slap in the face to our guys, but we shut them up pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, and I'll give those experts a little crap or cut them a little slack because if someone would have put me on the record with a microphone in my face, I probably would have been leaning the same way, the same direction they were. I think we talked on the show, you know, if Skyler plays, it's a coin flip. If Skyler can't play, you know, it's going to be a tough uphill battle, which we saw Skyler not play. And Will Howard had to come step in, and he did a good enough job to win. I mean, the numbers aren't overly impressive, but he managed the game well enough to win. What kind of were you, just your overall thoughts on Will Howard? Obviously, being, you know, you're coaching 18-year-olds. Imagine some of your seniors 12 months from now. That's what I got a brother-in-law that's a senior in high school, so it's really hard for man. My brother-in-law, him in 12 months leading a Division I football program up and down the field, I just can't even fathom it. So overall thoughts on, you know, one, Will's play, two, kind of just the maturity that he showed to be able to find a way to win that ball game.
No, you hit it on the head with that. He looked mature. He didn't look rattled at all. He actually looked like he belonged, you know. And as much as I love Skyler and I'm praying for a speedy recovery for him moving forward, you know, after watching Will play, any doubts that I had for the Cats moving forward, especially in the next couple of weeks, they were put to rest. You know, he looked like the guys had confidence in him. You know, the big play when they were backed up on our own, what, 5 or 10 yard line, and they caught up a great call on the quarterback draw. That right there showed his leadership. You know, he might not be as fast as some other quarterbacks in the league, but he may do. And it's one of those things where he wasn't hesitant to put balls in spots where he needed to, and he made some big throws when they were needed. And you can tell the team was behind him 100%. You know, I don't think anybody else felt like they had to do extra to cover up for him as a quarterback. They did their job and had confidence in him. And you can tell the coaches on the sideline had confidence in him. You know, my thing about him, like you said, being a true freshman, he looked mature beyond his years, and he looked confident. And I'm glad he's a K-State Wildcat. But the young man looked like he was having fun. When he made a mistake, you know, there wasn't a lot of finger pointing. There wasn't a lot of uncomfortableness on the sideline. They wouldn't talk to each other. They looked like they hashed things out. Next series, he came back and looked good. So as a fan of the Cats, I was very pleased with this play.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was I gave a lot of credit to that coaching staff just because they protected him so well with the play calling. I thought they did an excellent job. You know, you're not going to throw the ball 30 times or, you know, 35 times with a true freshman and win the ball game. You're going to throw the ball 19 times like they did, 8 for 19, 117 yards with one eye, with a pretty bad interception, and not a very good decision and not a very good throw. So, yeah, you're just not going to win that game if you have to ask Will Howard to throw that ball 30 times, which props to him and props to that defense. The defense allowed that coaching staff to play a little more conservative than you would see, and to play you know, just a little safer with those play calls, because, you know, they had the lead going into the fourth quarter, and they were riding the ball game the whole entire time. So yeah, if Kansas State gets down by 2 scores early, this is a totally different ball game. We're probably talking about how Will Howard went 12 for 38 or something crazy and had 2 interceptions, and it was a disastrous start for Will Howard. So props off to that offensive staff, but for sure that defense keeping them in it and really keeping them ahead of that score so they could allow that QB, Will Howard, to play conservative and just be smart in his first start.
No, you're absolutely correct, and it's one of those things what I love about football. I'm glad it's a team sport, you know, because when the offense – it's shorthanded, or when the offense is not playing well, our defense picks it up, and then vice versa. When our defense is struggling, the offense, special teams, somebody picks it up on their side. So that makes a huge difference in going into the game. And going back to the defense, you know, there's an old saying, our defense could be our best offense because we kept TCU's offense off the field. And when they were on the field, and our defense has been pretty consistent, I would say, with the exception of week one, they, as far as Big 12 play, they've been consistent about the physicality. You know, there were times where Duggan would run and he would get hit. And when he came off, you know, and I'm glad that he came back because I hate to see anybody get hurt. But he didn't look right when he came back. You know, he had that deer in the headlight look. I'm not saying he had concussion, but the look in his eyes wasn't the same when the game started, you know, and the confidence wasn't there. And I think the defense knew that, and they took advantage of it, and they brought pressure. And all the speed that TCU has and all the skill guys they have, he didn't have time to throw the ball, which worked in our favor, and they put pressure on him. So the defense did a great job of putting the offense in a comfortable position where they can move the ball, be smart about the plays, not feel like they have to get a big play down the field, and be consistent. So that was huge, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And really, you know, that goes off, you know, I just praise the offensive staff and how good they did at protecting Will. But, man, that defensive staff, you know, putting those guys in the right position and just doing an amazing job of keeping that TCU offense in check. Because, I mean, yeah, I mean, this defense has been dominant other than week one. And you know, they improved so much after 1 week. You know, I was utterly terrified of the season after that first week. I was like, oh my gosh, we can't play defense and our offensive line is horrible. What and our wide receivers didn't play well either, and they still haven't played well. So, but no, that defense did an exceptional job keeping them in that game. They're fun to watch and doing a nice job. Back over to the offensive side of the ball, Mr. Joshua Youngblood deciding to leave the program yesterday. Or depending on when you're listening to this, decided to leave it Tuesday after the game against TCU. What are your thoughts? I mean, I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. During certain summer workouts and winter conditioning, I wanted to quit so bad. But, you know, it's just a temporary pain quit. It's not an actually going to quit. Did you ever have, like, a buddy that quit? I mean, what goes through those guys? He's not quitting. He's going somewhere else. So did you ever have a close teammate that decided to transfer and try to do it somewhere else? Because I never really did.
Yeah, I had one situation where we had a guy transfer, but it wasn't because of lack of play time. It wasn't because of something, you know, wasn't right with the program. It was just one of those things where being a freshman, guy was from Florida, and he was a long way from home. And I think he was really close to his family. And I think the fact that being away from his family and his support system, it was tough on him. And it took a mental toll on him. And he decided to go somewhere closer to home, which I can respect that. You know, some guys mature a little bit differently than others, and that's I can respect that, and I'm okay with that. But as far as not being happy with your playing time or not being happy with whatever the situation may be, I've never had anybody pull the trigger and actually transfer because of that. You know, so I'm not sure what his train of thought is. I don't know all the details behind the decision to leave the program, but, you know, anybody that initially commits with K-State, I wish them well, whatever they may do in the future. And it's one of those things where, you know, you hate to see a young man go because he seemed to be well-liked by a lot of the fans and he seemed to be enjoying the program, but obviously something changed. I don't know what it was, but something changed. But for me, like you and I, we come from different times, you know. Back then, first of all, my mama wouldn't let me transfer if even if I wanted to.
Same
that was not an option.
Yeah, same here, but it would have been my dad. So.
Exactly. Yeah, mama wasn't having that. She goes, "You started it, you gonna finish it." But and like I said, we come from a different type of times. But on the flip side, it's hard for me to fathom a kid transferring. But I'm pretty sure he had good reasoning. And like I said, I wish him well. You know, it's unfortunate because he made some good plays for us, and I enjoy watching him play as a K-State player. But on the flip side, you alluded to it earlier, the offensive side of the ball, as far as receivers, we haven't done a lot. And it's not like we're losing a lot with him as a receiver. Now, special teams down the road, probably we could use him, but we have other guys that have stepped up also. But it's tough. You know, I hate to see it happen, but it is what it is, and you move forward. You move forward, so.
Yeah, and that's the maybe what I would take from this, and I was thinking about this the other day, is it seems like, you know, and maybe at other schools or the prior staff, like when a player transferred, it was just like the end of the world. It was like dramatic, and, you know, and the way Coach Snyder disciplined, it got nasty before a player would transfer, or he would let a player transfer. He would kind of put that rein on there, like, no, you can't transfer. Like, you signed a letter of intent, you're here, and unless I release you. And I know sometimes the rules have changed in recent past, but Coach Kleiman's like, if you don't want to be here, get the heck out of here. Like, I don't want you. If you're not going to be all in on this team, I don't want you around here. Best of luck. Here's the door. It's professional. It's not personal. It's just, you know, unfortunately, it's part of the game nowadays, and you almost have to manage that these teams. So, which you mentioned returners. I want to see Deuce Vaughn back there catching some punts and kicks. Anyway, we can get him the ball because he did not have a productive day on Saturday. TCU did do a nice job. They shut him down. I mean, 14 carries for 43 yards, only 3 yards a touch, and then only one reception out of the backfield. And that's what, you know, we talk about these receivers and the receiving core as a whole. I mean, Deuce Vaughn's done some really nice things out of the backfield. Briley Moore's been exceptional. Nick Lenners showed up last Saturday against TCU. He had that big drop, which may or may not have been a drop. It was, you know, 10 out of 10 on the difficulty of catch scale. So I'll let that one slide for Mr. Lenners. But other than that, the wide receiving core has been pretty – probably they've transitioned to the most disappointing group on offense for me. I was really worried about that offensive line. I was concerned about them. They've showed me that they can do it. I've got a little bit of confidence in that offensive line. Coach Riley has got them coached up, got them where they need to be. You know, they got some guys back, which helps. You know, they got a little healthier. But this receiving core, I mean, the big name guys. I mean, Malik Knowles is nowhere to be found. Sebastian Taylor didn't do. He's 2 catches, 10 yards. I mean, whoop-de-doo. And so it's. What's going on with this receiving core? I mean, how can they get this receiving core back on track? Because they're going to have to. I mean, they got a freshman quarterback. They got to help this guy out.
Yeah, and as funny as it sounds, and I hate to even say it because I'm not knocking the program, but we get a bye week and then we play KU the next week, and that can help cure a lot of remedies. And a remedy is one of those things where. You go in, it's a state rival, in-state rival, Sunflower Showdown, and I think it's a good game for the guys to build some confidence. You know, you're playing at home, and you're moving forward, so that's something that we have to look forward to. But with them having 2 weeks with the new quarterback to kind of get timing down, because before Skyler went out, tight end was his main target, and not knocking that because they did some good things together. But maybe with a new quarterback, he can get some new relationships with some of the guys that wasn't getting the ball as much, and they feel a little more confident to make some plays. So they got to continue to grind, continue to do a good job. Because as far as catching the ball, they haven't been great. But if you look at the run plays, they do a great job of passing, of blocking on the edge and allowing Deuce and the other running backs to get big runs. So that's huge. So hopefully they can kind of put that together, the pass blocking, the run blocking, and pass catching, and kind of go from there. So
yeah, that's my biggest thing on them is they haven't even – I mean, you know, there's been a handful of drops here and there like there always is, but, like, they just don't do a very good job of getting open, like, which is hard. And, you know, Skyler's always been a conservative quarterback. He's not going to fit it into, you know, too many tight windows. I would not want Will Howard trying to fit it into too many tight windows. So, I mean, those receivers, they have to find and a lot of that, too, can come, you know, can come from the top, Coach Mess, and running some different, better schemes to make sure that some guys are getting open.
Power Cat Podcast will be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds dog food and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
We now send it back to the Power Cat Podcast.
All right, moving on. You know, obviously the news came out this week. Skyler, out for the year. We, you know, there was a little bit of hope that he may be able to come back, especially with, you know, missing TCU game, bye week, then KU. That'd be a nice little 3 to 4 week window where he could get healthy if it was possible. Still a lot of mystery around that injury. Coach Klieman's not really listing out too many specifics, but we do know there was a surgery, out for the season. That's the end of it. With the season basically not counting, which I still find weird, which I may have to go on a pretty good rant about that before the end of the season. I don't understand how we're playing 90% of the season, and right. You know, we're reigning champions, and there's going to be a playoffs, and the season doesn't count. I don't get it.
Right.
So yeah, if we got in 30% of the games and it was a total disaster, yeah, let them all play next year. But like, we're basically getting the whole season in. So, anywho, with Skyler out, what is, if you're in his shoes, are you coming back next year? Well, what's kind of your thought process, what he should do or what he could do? I mean, a borderline NFL guy, maybe, you know, probably not going to make it. Let's be realistic. But yeah. Do you go for it? And he's got his degree. You know, from the academic side, he's good. Or do you come back for one last rendezvous and try to have another glorious season?
Yeah, my thing is, what do you want to do moving forward? You know, do you want to take the chance at the NFL? Do you honestly believe you have opportunity? If so, definitely come back, you know. And then my question is it here at K-State or is it at some other college that may need a quarterback? You know, you look at the Russell Wilsons. I'm not by any means comparing him to Russell Wilson, but he was at a big-time program and then transferred to, was it NC State? He started at and then transferred, I can't remember.
I think he was
where.
I'll keep going. I'll look it up for you. Yeah. I know he's at Wisconsin.
But he transferred from one big-time program to another, you know, and he had 1 year at the other program, and look at him now, you know. Not, like I said, not comparing him to Skyler or Skyler to him by any means, but it's kind of, my thing is, what do you want to do? You know, do you come back because you want to have one more year with your brothers, try to win the Big 12 championship, and then hopefully go to the playoffs? If that were to happen, great, you know. But if not, if you're looking for your future possibilities in the NFL, do you look elsewhere? Because you got two young quarterbacks that are going to be on the roster that you're competing with as well. You know, I think K-State will honor him regardless and give him the opportunity to keep his job as a starter unless Will Howard just has a phenomenal season and then they have to compete in the spring. Who knows with that? But on the flip side, like you said, academically, he's in great position to do what he wants to do. You know, this is something you want to come back as a GA. Do you want to get into coaching? Do you want to have a career in something else? So it's a lot of things I think he has to look at. But the good thing for him is it's unfortunate that it happened, but fortunately, he has options. And fortunately, it happened in a weird year, like you said, where people are saying the season doesn't count. But I don't get that either because you have conference championships and a playoff, so why doesn't it count?
Right.
But like I said, if it's going to happen, he is fortunate enough in a weird way to have it happen during the off year.
Right.
So he has options. So it's a bad situation, but it's a good situation for him if you're looking at the silver lining.
Yeah, I mean, at least he's got the choice to make. I mean, a lot of seniors get hurt in their senior year, and you know, that's it. They played their last snap of football, and they didn't know what was about to happen. But yeah, Russell Wilson. NC State originally. I'd kind of forgotten about that, but he ended up at Wisconsin. That's why I was there, like, I'm pretty sure he ended up at Wisconsin. I don't remember him anywhere before that. But yeah, he blew up at Wisconsin, had an exceptional year there, and then obviously doing exceptional things with our boys Tyler Lockett and BJ Finney up in Seattle. They're playing some really, really good football up there right now. So that leads me tailing off the Skylar Thompson question. So we got Skylar. Assuming Skylar comes back, I think he will. From what kind of the tweets that were going out from his teammates yesterday, you know, some of the verbiage was like, you'll come back stronger, you'll be even better. You know, some of that sounds like maybe they want him to come back. He's thinking about coming back. If he's had those private conversations, which are, you know, obviously between him and Coach Klieman and his family. But so next year, the quarterback room will be Skylar Thompson, a sixth-year senior now, I think would be the definition. Right, yeah. Will Howard, who's got about 6 or 7 games under his belt as a starter. And then let's not forget about the highly recruited Jake Rubley out of Colorado, who will be a true freshman. So, I mean, you're going to have three exceptional choices. And that's where, you know, I hate to even put the seed out there, but I mean, if I'm one of those three, I mean, if I'm Jake Rubley, I'm a little worried that I'm going to come in and one, I got to beat out a fellow young guy and then, you know, and I got to sit behind a 60-year senior probably. Cause I mean, let's be realistic. If Skylar comes back, it's his job. Not going to give that to Will, probably, you know, and probably rightfully so. I mean, Skylar's still a really, I mean, he was, some of the stats, you know, when he went down, national media picked up on, I mean, he was having a top 10 in the country season. He was a top 10 quarterback, and you know, his stats were. So if you're Jake Rubley, if you're Will Howard, like, what are you, I mean, obviously you hate to see someone get hurt, and that's why the season's so weird and so awkward. It's like these seniors, like, no, if you played a, here's my opinion, if you played a freshman because you thought it wasn't going to count against their eligibility, like, that's fine. Let's keep those guys. They're still freshmen next year, whatever. But if you were a senior already and you were going to play any, I mean, let's get them on with their life and get them out of here. And I know some guys will go to the NFL. It's not like it's going to be some massive problem. But for a program like Kansas State that only has one or two guys that are going to make it to the NFL, and you got another 15 seniors on scholarship or 20 seniors on scholarship, I mean, if 18 of them come back, that's going to cause some huge issues just from scholarship numbers and playing time. And then we start seeing younger guys transfer because they had to wait another year and now they're frustrated. So I don't know. That could just be a mess. But back to my original question, Jake Rubley, Will Howard, what are you thinking if you're those two young guys and Skylar Thompson comes back next year?
You know, for Will Howard, he's in a win-win situation because, for one, he's proven. You know, right? Well, it's one game, but I'm expecting him.
He played okay for one game.
I'm expecting him to do better and continue to grow, and that's my hope for him. And like I said, hopefully, when it gets to that point, we can look back and say he's a proven quarterback in the Big 12. You know, what I mean, that's what we hope to look back, you know, looking in the future. But Skylar is a proven guy, and then you got this highly touted freshman coming in. And so my thing is, and like you said, it's human nature. You want to be, if you're a quarterback, you are an alpha male in most cases, and you want to be the guy, you know. And it's one of those things where you might be okay with sitting 1 year, learning the program, learning the system, learning from behind the guy. But then, then second year, I want to be that guy. I want to be the leader. I want to be the face of the program, you know. So I think it can exist for a year, but then when Skylar does leave, that leaves the two other studs, and at that point, somebody is going to jump ship, in my opinion, and go elsewhere where they know they can beat out whoever may be a quarterback at a different program, you know. And that's just the way I'm thinking. But and I could be wrong. And who knows, you know. Skylar could surprise everybody and go elsewhere, you know. But I know he's loved here at K-State. I know he loves K-State. So who knows? It's wide open. But I wouldn't be surprised to see someone leave next year or definitely the following year.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, that's just, I mean, a lot of these schools now, they bring in two young quarterbacks knowing one of them's going to win it out and the other one's probably going to transfer. So that's, I hate it that that's the way it is, but unfortunately, and that's what, you know, you can't blame the kid. Who wants to be a backup for 4 years? I mean, if you're, you know, who wants to play only their senior year? It's like, no, I want to play at least my junior and senior year and hopefully a little bit my sophomore year. That's kind of the transition that you'd like. So, all good. All good with TCU.
Yeah, TCU. Hey, you know the best part about it is we're still in first place in the Big 12.
Dude, I know it's crazy. If you asked me that a month ago, I would have laughed at you.
I know, and I love saying that. And if you look at the preseason, who would have thought that K-State, Okie State, and Iowa State? And I was talking to my youngest son. I said it must be the year of the state because you got three state schools at the top and then you have the traditional powerhouses outside of KU at the bottom, you know, so or mid-level, lower level. But we're loving it right now, and we got a bye week, and like I said, we got KU coming up. So we're sitting in a pretty good position to get guys healed up, to continue to get better and to move forward. So right now, things are looking pretty good for the Cats, man.
Yeah, no, I definitely they've put themselves in a pretty good position, and they're coming on a bye week, gonna get some more guys healthy. Hopefully we, you know, K-State can keep everyone healthy from COVID situation. We've seen Baylor, it kind of taken over Baylor the last week or two. Their program is on lockdown, it seems like. Touch real quick, just on, you know, KU, obviously the laughing stock of the entire country. The last, 2020? I think they were good in like 2008 or 2009. So, you know, it's been a good decade since they've really put out a competitive team. What, right. From your standpoint, I mean, the good thing, I guess, with bringing in a freshman quarterback is I think this K-State team might take it a little less for granted. I mean, we used to go into that KU game so confident. I mean, I never played a fourth quarter against KU. That's how much we were always up 50-something to teens. And, like, exactly. I never had to play the fourth quarter. It was amazing. It was like a second bye week. And so we were just so confident going into that game, which was great. But there was a couple times we got off to a slow start. And, you know, the first quarter we were tied, or the first quarter, you know, we were up by three after a slow start in the first quarter. But this Kansas State team with a backup – not a backup quarterback, with a young true freshman quarterback now starting – I mean, they're going to have to bring it. I mean, this KU team's going to see an opportunity like, hey, if KU can put together a good game plan and come out and execute for one game, for four quarters, that's their whole entire season. So they're going to throw everything they have to win this game. And I think and I hope they come up short, but this K-State team better be ready, because they're going to get – this is KU's Super Bowl, and Kansas State with a true freshman quarterback is going to have to execute and play well in order to beat this KU team.
Yeah, definitely. KU is circling this game as spoiler. You know, point blank, that they are putting everything. I think they play West Virginia this Saturday. I'm not sure if it's in Lawrence or if it's up in Morgantown. But win or lose, I guarantee, especially the in-state guys that play for KU, they are looking at this and seeing us, and they read the media. They see it. They say they don't, but they do. And they don't like being little brother. And they've been little brother for years. And in K-State's doing really well and continue to do well. So they look at this as, hey, we're going to put everything we got into this game. And if we can beat them, that's going to salvage a little bit of our season moving forward. So I'm pretty sure Coach Kleiman and the rest of the staff are making the kids aware of that, because KU has nothing to lose. So you're going to see trick plays. You're going to see fake punts. You're going to see everything and then some, because they have nothing to lose. Because if it doesn't work, nobody expected them to win anyway. So that puts us in a position where we have to be ready for everything. So I hope the kids realize that and get ready and come prepared, which I don't doubt that they will.
Yeah, no. If it's, there's one thing we've seen from those coaching staff, it's that they do a pretty good job of getting their guys prepared. I mean, just other, you know, barring that Arkansas State game, let's just forget about that one. But other than that, they've done a pretty good job of having this team prepared. And, yeah, KU going to West Virginia. They got the big noon 11 a.m. kickoff with Fox. So got a little national television for the Jayhawks, which is a rarity. I'll be nice to them. I'm pretty mean to them. I need to be nicer. Those kids – and that was always my – I always felt – I had some friends – contacts that, you know, not friends, but guys you play against that you respect that ended up over there. And you know how, man, football's hard. Football hurts. It's painful. It's tiring. It's mentally exhausting, physically exhausting. You're always hurt. And it gets, if you win a lot of games, it's still barely worth it. If you lose every game, like, I can't even imagine showing up to practice every day, not one of the game, not have won a game in 2 or 3 years. I mean, those guys, I feel bad for them, and they work just as hard as anyone, and they do deserve to win a game every once in a while to have a little happiness and positivity and reward for their hard work. But at the end of the day, this is real life, and no one's gonna hand it to you, so you better go take it. And I just hope, I hope KU versus K-State this week or next week on October 24th is not the game they decide to show up and play outside their mind and find a way to scrap out a win against K-State. I don't think they will, though.
Yeah, I think overall as a team, we are more talented. Well, I know we are.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And the saving grace is our defense, we match up really well with them. You know, Puka Williams, that guy's been a stud for KU, but they don't have anybody that can block for him the whole game. And to a point, you can only put him in so many positions. And I think also that Deuce is going to give their defense some fits in open space because you can't put a linebacker on him one-on-one. If you go nickel package and bring another D-back in, we can go with the quarterback run game. So pick your poison. But I think we're in a pretty good position moving forward. We can't take them for granted and look past them by any means.
And I don't think they will. I do not think they will. So, but yeah, and obviously another distraction there for KU, obviously with Coach Miles getting COVID last week, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he was planning to coach the West Virginia game last I heard or last I saw. So obviously, you know, if he's coaching West Virginia, he'll be back for K-State. But obviously thoughts and prayers to him to get healthy. You know, as much as we dislike KU, we don't want anyone to get hurt or seriously injured or ill. All because I mean, at the end of the day, he's still hilarious. I mean, it's comical what he does. So he's a goofy dude, and I enjoy seeing his headlines come across my Twitter feed sometimes. But awesome. Well, this is been the wrap up from the TCU, a little bit of KU preview. Monty and I both, I think we're going to skip the show next week. So, you know, going into KU, we kind of touched on them this week. So we will see you all in 2 weeks after the KU victory at Kansas State. It looks like an 11 o'clock kickoff. Anything else wrapping up, Monty?
That's about it, man. Take care of yourself and all the listeners. Go Cats.
Absolutely. Sounds good, buddy. Best of luck this weekend. Hope you and your boy have a good game, and the rest of your players have a good safe game and a Wildcat victory against old Barta. So should be fun.
Definitely.
Perfect. Thanks, Monty. Have a good one.
Thank you.
PowerCat Podcast. All rights reserved. GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street Publishing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.